Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
Hey, welcome to episode 57 of Growth Marketing Today. I'm your host, Ramley John, and I'm here on a mission to help marketers and founders like you sharpen their marketing skills by talking to some of today's top experts. Welcome to the first episode of September. It's back to school for people that have kids, or if you're a teacher, welcome to the fall. Today, I had the pleasure of talking to Stephen Kenwright. He is the co-founder and technical director at Rise at 7, a creative SEO agency based out of Sheffield in UK. He is also the co-founder of Search Leads, the biggest digital conference in the north of England. Now, I really love Stephen's view on SEO. One of the things he pointed out is that you can really boil down SEO into one focus. Just give searchers the best customer experience overall. Now, in this episode, Stephen discusses something he calls a customer-centric approach to SEO strategy. So in this episode 57, you'll learn one, what is customer-centric search? Two, why is SEO not a channel, but actually a business case? That's actually a really interesting point he made that made me look at SEO in a different light. Number three, two things founders and marketers need to focus on if they're just starting out with SEO. Now, I've created a growth cheat sheet for this episode. Why take notes from this podcast when you can just steal my notes? You can download the cheat sheet or Cole's notes of this episode now at growthtoday.fm/57, or you can find the link in the description. Now, please support this podcast. I'm not sure if you know, this podcast is a one-person show. I record, edit, and create all the marketing materials for this podcast. So there's three easy ways to support this podcast. First, tell your friend about it. You can share a quote on Twitter or LinkedIn, or you can forward any emails that I've sent out to you. You can go to growthtoday.fm/57 to get the tweetable quotes and send that out on Twitter or LinkedIn. Second, you can join the Grow Today Tribe mailing list. You'll get the Grow Cheat Sheet directly emailed to you for every new episode you sign up for. I also tell you who my next guests are, so you can ask questions via email in advance. So join the Grow Today Tribe mailing list now at growthtoday.fm. And third, you can support me on Patreon for as little as $2 per episode for exclusive access to really cool content. You can go to patreon.com/growthtoday to check that out. For my first 20 patrons, you'll get all the perks at the highest level, which is the unicorn level, for $2 per episode at a 75% discount. I will also thank you in every episode for the rest of the year. So with that, I would like to thank my Patreon supporters, my early adopter Patreon supporters, Jamie Ward from Las Vegas. Thank you for being an early adopter. I also have Veronica from London, UK, and Fabricio Marcias from Brazil. Well, enough about me. Let's jump in with my chat with Stephen. Hey, everybody. I have Stephen Kenwright. I'm so excited to talk to him about customer-centric search and everything that he's doing around search. How are you doing, Stephen? How are things with you?
I am awesome, Ramli. Yeah. Thank you very much. I'm really good. How about yourself?
I'm pretty great. I can't complain. It's sunny here in Toronto. How's the weather up there? You're based out of Dublin, is that right? Or no, sorry.
Sheffield.
Yorkshire. Exactly. I remember. How's the weather there?
It's pretty good, actually. We're coming off a bit of a heat wave by British standards, so It's been warm for at least 3 days.
Before we talk about customer-centric search and co-founding Search Leads, maybe you can tell a little bit about your story. I noticed you started off as a copywriter, and now you're like co-founder and technical director of this creative SEO agency. How did that come about?
Yeah, I did a degree in English. So I actually studied here in Sheffield. I did a degree in English, and then I did a master's in Shakespeare and Renaissance literature. And I think, like most people who do a degree in English are fully expecting that they're going to be school teachers or something like that. And I certainly did as well. But it just so happened that while I was at university, I was freelancing for a small agency doing some, you know, various just advertising style copy for lots of different little bits and pieces. And I got offered a job by that agency straight away out of university, and then started working more on the SEO team there, because obviously even back in 2010, copy was a big part of SEO, and really loved it. So I kind of planned on staying in the content side of things, but naturally, you know, you just kind of get a bigger and bigger picture of everything to do with SEO, and in the end I've ended up managing dev teams, design teams, everything that goes with it, and it just kind of gravitated towards the technical side after a while, and I do love it. Yeah, it's awesome.
And how did you go about co-founding Grice @7?
Yeah, well, I went in-house for a little while, and we were looking for an SEO agency at the time, and you know, part of being on the conference scene and finding search leads, and certainly part of, you know, doing a lot of new business and pitching with Brand Agree, I felt like I had a good understanding of the SEO agencies out there, and we invited in some agencies who were all awesome at different things, but one thing that kind of struck me was that there doesn't seem to be anyone who's equally awesome at technical SEO and the creative side of things. And you know, as I mentioned, I kind of gravitate towards the technical side, and Carrie, who's my co-founder, is awesome at the creative bit, and it just seemed like there was a real obvious gap here that we could fill just by being ourselves. So it happened very suddenly, and here we are. But it feels pretty natural from my point of view.
It's interesting you say your gravity towards technical. Well, I saw your search lead stock from 2018, and you said search is the most customer-centric form of marketing. So it's more customer-centric than it is technical. Is that what you're saying with that?
I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. I do think that from my point of view, when I was at university, I wanted to live in the woods. I didn't want anything to do with marketing, you know. I didn't want to work for the man. I wanted to be a school teacher and give back to the world in some way that SEO maybe doesn't. But I kind of, when I got into SEO and when I started to get more involved in the discipline, it just seems to me that people are looking for things and are therefore giving you permission to give them what they're looking for. Whereas every other form of marketing and advertising has some degree of interruption to it. You know, you are following people around the web, you are jumping into their social feeds, you are getting in front of them in some sort of way that they probably weren't expecting you to be there. Whereas with SEO, they are literally looking for you. And that kind of, it was a nice easy gateway into SEO from that point of view, for when you're, you know, a teenager and wanting to do something right for the world, you know.
That's totally true. And what do you mean by customer-centric search then?
From my point of view, customer centricity is about giving people what they want, and Google is all about that too. And technical SEO, you know, when we start talking about those things not being mutually exclusive, Google is, when it's looking at ranking factors, it's only ever trying to give people something that they think is going to give them a higher probability of enjoying that page. So a faster website is something that people are going to enjoy, and that is customer centricity. You know, a more obvious next route and next best action is customer centricity, reducing bounce rate. That's all about giving people a better experience on the web. So all these things like UX, better content, and, you know, crafting user journeys, they're all part of technical SEO, but they're all part of being customer first in a way that, you know, maybe old SEO wasn't necessarily so much about the customer, but we didn't really care if people saw the content we put out. We didn't really care about much other than if it got us rankings. So I think that's the way that the industry's been going for a long time. It's about increasing the probability of people like stuff.
That's one of the things that I found with your talk when I watched it, was that one of the ongoing themes is like really building the customer trust is the most important, one of the most important thing for SEO. You talk about publishing content frequently and getting reviews, acquiring backlinks, using HTTPS versus HTTP. These are things to help build trust, right? Essentially.
Yeah.
What are other things that brands should be doing or companies should be doing to really build that trust with searchers?
Well, one of the big trends that's happening and has been happening probably for about 10 years, really, but certainly more in the last couple of years, what with Donald Trump and Brexit and all that kind of thing going on. You know, marketing agencies, marketing teams are kind of getting less budget to do a lot of the things that they want to do. And when it comes to trust, users, customers, visitors have relied on things like TV advertising, print, you know, traditional forms of advertising to prove that a brand is worthwhile spending some time or money with. And SEOs are kind of suffering more now, or the SEO performance is suffering more now, because we don't have those channels that are really establishing a brand as being worthwhile. So one thing that I think is becoming more and more prevalent when it comes to how do you craft an SEO strategy, it's about building trust through actually getting in front of people in a way that you're driving people to a website. You're literally getting in front of them on the kinds of publications that they are interested in reading, rather than just, you know, hoping that people are going to come visit you, because they're not going to do that when you're not you don't have those big media trust signals out there anymore. So SEO is getting more and more like advertising.
That's really interesting, because you did talk about a case study where one of your clients who had a TV spot for a product, and that TV spot like drove an increase in branded searches.
Yeah.
Your conclusion is that SEO is not a channel. And that is like, wow, that's really fascinating. And what do you mean by that for the people who hasn't seen your talk?
In an ideal company, if a company was perfect and there was no politics and everything worked the way that it should, you shouldn't really need an SEO team, because a website is built right in the first place. There is SEO built into an advertising campaign above the line. There's SEO built into PR. There's SEO built into social media. You know, an SEO in a company now is more about tying up channels and project management and getting the most out of every other channel than they are about trying to find things to do on their own. And that's been a real change in the last 5 years or so, where historically you invent campaigns of things to do because the other channels just aren't getting anywhere close to that. But, you know, SEO isn't a channel, it's a business case, because most of the things that you do, when it's a new website, whether it's, you know, any big substantial marketing investment, it has an impact on traffic. And a lot of the time it has a very big impact on traffic if you're really putting some money behind it. So, you know, an SEO is not a thing that you do on its own anymore. SEO is a thing that comes out of everything else that you're doing.
That's really fascinating. I never heard of it that way, actually. Should the role of an SEO team now more of an education, like they're educating the whole company as to like best practices? Like how do you see in an ideal company, like who owns SEO?
I don't see that any company is ideal or is going to be ideal in anytime soon. You know, even the companies that you talk about as being some of the best run and most profitable and whatever, you know, the Apples and Facebooks and all that kind of thing, they are nowhere close to that kind of world. They do need SEO because, you know, it is about education. It is about making sure that all the other teams are doing things that benefit SEO as well. But realistically, I think that those disciplines in marketing teams are getting wider and wider apart. You know, it's the days of full stack marketers are kind of gone, right? So you have real specialists in every big company, and there are very few people at a high level who tie all of those things together. And, you know, I mean, you could do it as basically as just saying, hey, what are we going to do about SEO when we do this thing? In the same way that social campaigns are, as part of like a bigger advertising campaign, are just, oh, we'll stick a hashtag on this. You know, it's like, well, what's the SEO element of this? And there always is one. So I think that, you know, in a standard company, that's a minimum requirement. As far as SEOs and the role that they actually do play now, it is about optimization. And I think, you know, you talk about search engine optimization and you think about it as being optimization of websites for search engines, but that's not the case at all. It's about optimizing every other marketing channel for search engines.
If you had to prioritize, like, what, let's say you, a startup approaches you, like, we need help with SEO, what would be like some of the things that you would tell them to do, like, first?
Content. And links, funnily enough. So that's what it's always been, and it still is now. I think SEO, from a technical point of view, has really changed more recently, you know, last few years, because the way that technical SEO is now, it's not a checklist of things that you fix. It's a competitive advantage. You have a faster website that has a meaningful difference to you. You're implementing new tech that has a meaningful impact on what you're doing in the bottom line. But you're only optimizing what you've got. And if you've not got anything because you don't have content that answers what people are looking for and it doesn't really cover the breadth of your products, and you don't have any brand, you don't have links, you don't have any other sort of TV advertising or radio or print or anything out there that's driving brand awareness, then they're the two things that are really going to make the difference. So from a startup point of view, links and content are absolutely everything right now. For a really established company, technical SEO might be the key thing.
And you mean by technical SEO, you're looking at like increasing the speed, looking at making sure that on-page stuff are good. Is that what you mean by technical side if you're a larger company?
Yeah, absolutely. Optimizing crawl, site speed, definitely. Conversion rate too. You know, conversion rate optimization's really come on as a discipline. And I think that, if you know, certainly my point of view on that is it's very closely linked to SEO. We aren't in a world anymore where we can say, we're going to drive you some traffic and it's up to you what you do with it. It's now we drive you some traffic and we need to convert that traffic, otherwise our company's going to suffer. So I think those conversion rates, UX, you know, everything from A/B testing through to, you know, big sweeping UX changes and even website replatforms, that's a real element of SEO now.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about video, because you did mention that in your talk. You said, like, you said a stat that 60% of YouTube users are there to just watch cat videos, and the 40% are actually there to do research to find products. What's your advice for brands who want to get more into like video? And not probably like more TV, but just general social media video to influence search.
Yeah, I think those seem like really big numbers when it comes to, you know, 60% of people aren't there for informational content. Well, yeah, sure. But 40% of the second biggest search engine in the world are interested in informational content. And unlike Bing versus Google, these two search engines are not mutually exclusive either. You know, people Google things and then they go on YouTube and then they go back to Google and switch between. And people do really genuinely want to consume content in different ways. So like, if you think about how you might buy a car now or a holiday, you probably do actually watch some video around that, but that's not the only thing you do. So your video features as part of that customer journey, and often it's the missing link. So if you're a brand that's looking to get into video and you're thinking, none of my competitors are currently doing video, that is the perfect time to do video, because there is a whole gap in that user journey that is just not being filled right now, that you could step in and compete on a huge search engine without having any real competition from some people that you've really been bothered about for a long time.
Have you done any video SEO for any of your clients? And what did that look like, if you have?
Yeah, it's fairly straightforward. You know, a lot of the interesting thing about Google versus every other sort of fledgling search engine, so you're talking about App Store optimization, you're talking about YouTube SEO, they're really basic. They're like Google was 10 years ago. It's so easy to do. It's about keywords. It's about content. That's kind of it. You know, if you are a brand, you win. That's definitely a feature that's been carried over from big Google. But other than that, it's pretty straightforward to just optimize the actual video itself and then try and get it in front of people. One thing that's really interesting about the SEO industry right now, and particularly the wider journalism industry, you know, if you are link building, if you're trying to get onto big publications, every journalist now has to have video to publish a story. And if you get a link because you've got a great story and it's got no video on it, have a look back and you'll see that there probably has been some sort of video inserted in there, some stock imagery or something like that. You know, it features, it really does. It's worthwhile creating video, even if it's just because it increases your link building success.
And it goes back to your point. I kind of look at search differently now after I saw your talk, that video, the reason why you do video to influence search is also it's more trustworthy than text, the content, right? Would you say that? Is that something that, you know, this is something that more companies should be doing, because it does influence search because of that trust?
I think so, because I think you get so much value from information when you can see the body language of the person that is conveying it,
right?
Or you can hear the tonality of a person's voice, or, you know, not all content is video content is like that, obviously. But if you think to, you know, going back to car reviews is a great example. You have to trust that person's opinion if you're going to buy a car based on a YouTube review. And some people are doing a really great job of that. And realistically, I think that there are the a lot of the car reviews that you might read on various publications, whether they're massive and really trustworthy like Top Gear, or whether they're some blogger, realistically, they're kind of very similar content. You know, you have a bit of a brand behind them, but you don't really... If you copied and pasted that into a doc and just read it aloud, then you wouldn't really know that that was Top Gear.
Is that something that you would suggest then? Like, you know, one of the things that I've heard or read somewhere is that you can take one of your best performing blog content and just turn that into a video content somehow, or like, or whether that's a talking head or some kind of animation. Or would you have a different strategy completely for video?
I think it definitely depends on the brand, and it definitely depends on the industry too. But, you know, most of the most competitive industries, I think you're kind of looking at just like, let's just start something, right? So I think a lot of brands have really invested in blogging over the last 10 years or so, particularly the last 5 years since social media really took off.
Right.
And there are huge, huge archives on loads of big brands' websites of content that's just dead on a blog. You know, there is nothing, there's probably no search traffic going there anymore, but someone spent some time on that. There is definitely some interesting stuff there. So I don't think it's necessarily a case of just let's narrate one of the blog posts, but I think it's definitely a case of let's see what all the blog posts we have on a certain topic are, and let's see if we change anything now, because, you know, things have maybe moved on a little bit, but we probably have a lot of insight that we've spent a lot of time and resource trying to generate that we can turn into something really quite useful and special in a video.
What do you think about audio? Also, I've noticed that Google's been doing some pretty major updates in terms of like updating the Google Podcasts, and they're saying that they're searching through the audio now. How does audio fit into that customer-centric search?
It's definitely a feature, but it's not a feature for everyone. And I think that's true of video too. And that's, you know what, that's true of text. So I think it's easy to say, well, we need everything. And that's probably not the case for most brands. Most brands probably would benefit from having everything, but not in a way that's ROI positive, right? So I think that, you know, it really does depend on the type of industry that you're in. You know, audio does particularly well in tech, does particularly well in B2B. When I'm thinking about SEO content, for example, I don't watch videos. Very, very rarely watch any video content, but I definitely listen to podcasts quite frequently, because this is the sort of industry where I'm thinking, what's happened this week? And I want some sort of download of what's been going on since the last podcast I listened to. And, you know, you kind of fit that in around the life that you've got. And that's definitely true of a lot of industries like that, but it's not true of maybe travel. I can't imagine a travel audio podcast kind of thing would do quite so well as something very visual, because that's kind of what you're about when you're traveling, right? Fashion is another example of that. So it's easy to make a sweeping statement, say everyone needs video and everyone needs audio, and that probably isn't quite the case.
Let's talk about that thing you just mentioned, where like there's a lot of things that are coming up for search, a lot of big changes recently with search, and a lot of people are upset. What do you think about that? What do you think about the recent changes in search, and where do you see it going?
So I started a pure play SEO agency 2 months ago, and there was a good reason for that. I think that this is the best time to get into SEO for a long time.
Okay.
Cool. And there's a bunch of reasons for that. So, you know, going back to Rand's jump shot data, I think it's really interesting. I definitely think there's value in knowing that stuff, and you can see where the trend's going, but you can't see in the same graph how much search is growing, because it is. There are more searches now than there were a year ago, than there were 2 years ago. So, you know, overall, the number of no-click searches probably is increasing, but the number of searches overall is definitely increasing too. And so, you know, you don't see that trend generally, but I'm also interested, you know, from a B2B, I'm a marketer, you know, I work with marketing teams too, and I'm interested in where the money's going and the trend overall, the things that are really happening across the industry and across every industry are regulations coming in. GDPR is happening. You can't advertise in the same way as you used to. ITP 2.1 on Safari makes analytics very difficult from a tracking and personalization point of view on the, you know, half of the browsers in the world. And that's getting rolled out across all sorts of different things, or similar products are being rolled out across Firefox, etc. So you've got performance marketing as a discipline where we are on the cusp of a real backlash against that. And brands are on the verge of a real panic where, you know, we need to get some serious volume of sales and traffic in there. And we're moving back to a world where the only real way to do that, unless you are super smart, is going to be TV and SEO and content. And that is how things are going to be done. You know, that is a totally sweeping statement. There's always going to be value in PPC. There's always going to be value in paid social. Those things are still important parts of the mix, but they're being dialed back down from where they have been. And SEO is being dialed back up for sure.
Interesting. That's really a fascinating view on things. Now, is there any other things that you would suggest for search? So like a lot of folks, you said it's like one of the best time to start a SEO agency. Where should people start now? They're just getting on to SEO.
I think it's always good to have a good technical grounding. I know everyone always says that, and the answer that I would have given you when I started was the same as it is now. You know, try things out, get a blog, start building things yourself and do something around it. I think it is really useful to get a wider range of insight into marketing, more than it ever has been before. So where a lot of advice might be, you need to go really deep and narrow here, and what you need to do is learn Python and you need to learn the code. I don't think that's necessarily quite as valuable as if you learned PPC, for example, or if you learned more about right. the other marketing channels that are going on, because, you know, we are living in a world where we deal with big companies, we deal with marketers who have lots of problems across lots of channels, and we need to empathize with those people. We need to find the best way to help them to get a job done, and that's not always knowing the absolute most about one certain niche of one certain topic. It's often about knowing where their world really sits, you know, what is actually going on across their company, and being able to get some things done. So I definitely say the usual places that everyone else would say, the beginner's guide to SEO is a great first step. And, you know, there's a whole load of content out there that has been good for a very long time. But I would say that it's worthwhile starting to read more widely than that, and definitely looking into other marketing publications.
Interesting. And that goes back to what you said, that SEO is not a channel. It's embedded in everything pretty much. And that's why you got to read up on all these things.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
I'm about to wrap up. I love asking this question. What is your one piece of advice to any marketer who wants to one day become the director of an agency or starting their own agency?
I think you should go in-house for a while. I think that you can't, you know, running an agency, there is a huge element of sales involved in that. And sales can have a real negative connotation. It can be a dirty word, but it's not. It's about finding the best way to help people out. And I don't think you can know the best way to help people out unless you have done something that looks like their job. So you know some of the challenges that they really have. And I think that if you're going to provide a service for a fee, you should at least try being the person who pays the fee for that service for a while.
One other question that just came up right now is, for people who are looking for SEO agencies or SEO freelancers, what are some things that they should definitely look out for as a positive, but also as maybe red flags?
That's a tough question, because I think that the agency world is massively different now to how it was 6 months ago, especially in the UK. I think that you kind of have to look at what you really need from your SEO agency. And that's obviously going to be different for everyone. But if you need flexibility, if you need someone who's going to be a partner and change when you need to change and move quite quickly, which I think is probably a feature of SEO now, really, then I think you need an independent agency. And I think that if you are the kind of business that needs stability and your absolute priority is knowing what's going to happen in your workflow for the next 12 months, then that's when a huge holding company owned agency comes in. But, you know, reactivity, I think that that's definitely the way that things are going. So I think independence, whether that's consultants, whether that's an agency, and consultants definitely add a huge amount of value. I know some of the smartest SEOs that I follow on Twitter, that I talk to on LinkedIn, and all that kind of thing, a lot of the smartest people in this industry are either starting up on their own or they are going and becoming consultants right now. And I think that that is probably actually a really good move. There shouldn't be stigma with going with a consultant just because you're used to going with a huge agency.
And you talked about who you follow on Twitter or everywhere else for SEO. Who are those folks for people who want to like read up on more stuff about this?
So I recently, you know, obviously we've only just started up, so we set an RSS feed channel in Slack, which is just things that I think that everyone in the agency should read. So definitely Bill Slavsky, SEO by the Sea, is still a favorite. Less frequent publishing now, but AJ Cohn and Blind 5-Year Old is definitely one of the best strategy led blogs when it comes to more technical SEO. The stuff that the guys at Deepcrawl are doing is fantastic. And Simo Ahava, from a tag manager and more JavaScript based point of view, they are the four people that their individual blogs get pulled in. Oh, and Built Visible, definitely from an agency point of view, one of the smartest agencies out there talking about technical SEO.
Cool. And anybody on Twitter that you follow for getting updated for SEO?
Same people, definitely the same people.
Sorry, just another question came up. You also co-founded Search Leads. How did that come about? And you know, where is that going next, essentially?
I don't know where that's going to go next. So I founded that when I was at an agency called Branded 3, and Branded 3 has been merged into some other agencies. I don't know if there will be another Search Leads. I really hope there will be, and I don't know how involved I'm going to be. But I mean, when it came about, that Leeds is a really interesting city in the UK when it comes to SEO, because we've had a bunch of really great conferences here in the past. Like Think Visibility was a really big deal in the industry, and Ion Search over here was really cool as well. There's been loads of stuff and there are loads of agencies. I think the top five agencies in terms of headcount in SEO in Leeds employ about 1,000 people between them. So it's a huge industry in that city for no reason that we can really tell. So there hadn't been any conferences in the town for a long time, and there was definitely, you know, this kind of regular meeting with lots of other SEOs in the scene. And I had a lunch with a guy called Chris Dyson at Harvester once, and he definitely gave us the push that we needed to actually do something. I think we'd spent a whole load of cash on these kind of CMO speed dating events for our agency for a couple of years and got nothing back, because, you know, SEO is pretty narrow. If you're a CMO, you're either looking at SEO or you're not. And, you know, it's pretty tough to get an ROI from those things with a tiny, narrow service offering. So the amount of money that we spent on those things, we thought we could put a conference on for this. And we couldn't, actually. It was a lot more expensive than that, but it was definitely worth it. And I think that, you know, we grew from 450 people in the first year to about 3,000 this year. We moved into an arena, four stages.
Nice.
You know, I'm definitely incredibly proud of the team that worked on that. So Charlie Harris and Frankie Beatty, particularly at the marketing team, have been fantastic at really helping to grow that too. So I think, I don't know where it's going to go. I hope that it will continue. I definitely think that the north of the UK needs something like that. So I'm hoping we'll see it next year too.
That's awesome. I'll definitely check it out if it does show up next year. Last question. What is your call to action to my listeners? Where do you want them to go after this?
I think I share a whole load of stuff on Twitter. So my Twitter, Steve Kenwright, is probably the first place to go. I'm not going to say go look at my content. I'm not going to say go look at the website or anything like that. You'll either do that or you won't. I'm quite happy just to chat, answer any questions about, you know, what I've been talking about, or pretty much anything else too. So definitely come have a chat on Twitter.
Awesome. I really appreciate your time. I hope you have a great rest of your Friday.
You too, Ramley. Appreciate it. Cheers.
Hey, thanks for staying until the very end. I'd like to reward you by sharing my three key takeaways from this episode. Number one, trust is everything. As marketers and founders, it's tempting to look at SEO as just a checklist of things to do so you can appease the Google search engine gods. But Steven made a point that everything Google has been doing is to improve the searcher's customer experience. Everything from prioritizing mobile, encouraging websites to use HTTPS, and creating a great user experience on site. So next time you're putting together a campaign, think about how you can provide the best customer experience for the people you are targeting. Second, SEO is not a channel. I've always seen search as a channel, but according to Steven, SEO is a business case that requires a multidisciplinary approach and several teams to come together. This means that PR, content, sales, design, and IT have to come together to build the best customer experience for searchers. And number three, now is the best time to start with SEO. Now, it's so easy to look at all the bad stuff happening in SEO. For example, Google has been sending less and less clicks to other websites that is not owned by Google. But Steven points out that more people are using search engines than ever. For most websites, SEO is the highest source of traffic. If you haven't gotten started with SEO for your website, you should get started now. Steven suggests that you focus on two things if you're just starting out: creating great content and getting links back to those content. I'd like to end by asking you to support this podcast if you've been enjoying this for a while. There's three easy ways to do it. First, share a quote on Twitter or LinkedIn. You can tell a friend about it. I've created some tweetable quotes on growthtoday.fm/57. Second, you can join the Growth Today Tribe mailing list. You'll get all the cheat sheets directly emailed to you going forward. I'll also tell you who my next guests are, and you can ask questions directly via email to them, and I can ask it while I'm recording it. Third, you can support me on Patreon for as little as $2 per episode for exclusive access to some really cool content. You can check that out at patreon.com/growtoday, or you can find the link in the description of this podcast episode. My first 20 Patreons, you'll get all the perks at the highest level, which is the unicorn level, for $2 per episode, which is a 75% discount for that level. I will also thank you in every episode for the rest of the year. So I'd like to announce my early adopter Patreons. I just want to thank them. Jamie Ward from Las Vegas, thank you very much for being an early adopter. Also Veronica from London, UK, and Fabricio Marcias from Brazil. Well, enough about this episode. I'll catch you next week where I have somebody special on that episode. As always, keep on growing.